Our first scripture reading comes from the letter of Peter, 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 23. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 218 of the New Testament. So hear Peter's words. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading, so wonderfully introduced by that song, is from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, beginning in your pew Bible on page 84. We are yet on the same day that we've been for 3 weeks now. It is still Easter day. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking? He was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as you folks well know from our discussions earlier, and as you can tell from our table, on this Sunday, we will be celebrating the Lord's table, Holy Communion. And also afterwards, we'll be going downstairs, hopefully all of us, to join in our community meal. Well, all this talk about food got me thinking about food, because I am, quite obviously, a good United Methodist. But when you think about food, this story about the walk to Emmaus might bring to mind things that have happened to you. They certainly do bring to mind a story that happened to me. And so with your indulgence, let me share with you a story about food and to see if there might be some parallels between this story of the walk to Emmaus and my story. My story is not about bread, but rather my story is about cookies. And my story is about a very particular cookie. It is a story about Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookies. How many of you remember the TV commercials? Nutter Butter peanut butter, you remember those? Yes. You guys remember? Yeah, you do? Okay, very good. Well, I promise you'll get to eat these later on, so I'm not just tempting you. But my first experience, my first real understanding of Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookies came in about 1990. That was the year that Jane and I, and my little sister Annie, and my father floated the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. Now, ours was about a two-week trip. We went from Lee's Ferry on the north side all the way through the Grand Canyon down to Diamond Creek at the top of Lake Mead. As I mentioned, we were gone for about 2 weeks. Every night we would sleep out on the sand under the stars in that mighty gorge. And it seemed like every day that we're floating the river, the river guides would pull out a package of Nutter Butter peanut butter sandwich cookies. Now, this was an amazing experience to float the Colorado River. If you've ever been there, how many have ever done this? Nobody? Anybody? You, Nalu has? Peggy has? Very good. Well, these folks could tell you that if I really had a few hours, I could tell you all sorts of stories about the Grand Canyon. But for this morning, the main point is to think that in my mind, I began to associate wild rivers with Nutter Butter cookies. And as it turned out, that became a tradition, because from then on, if Jane and I were ever on the water, we had to have our Nutter Butters along. It was part of who we were. Well, as it turns out, when we were living in Cortez, Colorado, about that time, Zach was old enough that he had learned how to swim. And that began many, many years that we would go to Bluff, Utah to float the San Juan River. And I can see Ron's thinking about the San Juan as a fly fisherman. But the San Juan River is this part, anyway, where you go from Bluff, Utah to Mexico, is about a half-day trip. But it's an amazing wilderness experience through some of the most spectacular geology that you can find in the West. It also is literally covered, the rocks are covered with petroglyphs from the ancient people of Utah. Every time we floated that river, we would see desert bighorn sheep and all sorts of birds. So it was an amazing experience. And every time that we floated the San Juan River, we would take along the Nutter Butters. That's just the way it was. Well, this trip was so special that we eventually did it with very, very good friends of ours, the Maxwells. We also took both of my sisters and their families. And on one very special occasion, we floated the San Juan River with my dad, who was living in Tucson. And on that day, I can remember sitting along the banks of the San Juan River and describing to my father for the first time that I was now answering the call from Christ to become a minister in the United Methodist Church. So you can see that these rivers have an awful lot of meaning to me. Am I popping or is that you guys? I am. I probably shouldn't move, right? I'm okay? So, okay, I'll try to stay in one place. Okay. Okay, no worries. Anyway, every time we floated the San Juan, the Nutter Butters came. And we got to the place where that was what you did when you were out in the wilderness. You brought along these silly cookies. And it turns out it wasn't just Western rivers, because when we moved to the eastern U.S. to go to, for me to go to seminary, we would take kayaks out on the Potomac River. Zach would pilot a kayak by himself, and invariably we had to have the Nutter Butter cookies. Well, in our family, there was this association, but there was also the recognition that this was now a tradition. This was part and parcel of who we were. It was part of our past. It was part of our present. How many of you ever heard of olfactory hallucinations? Do you know what an olfactory hallucination is? An olfactory hallucination simply means, right, that when you smell something, you have associations in your mind, and you can literally see those experiences linked to that smell. Well, this was the occurrence for me. Have you ever had the experience of déjà vu? That's the experience in this case. Whenever I eat or smell a Nutter Butter, it's almost as though I'm experiencing that thing all again. So I'm back on the river. It has become such an important tradition in our family that it is also part of our future as well. I eat a cookie and I start thinking about the opportunities that we have to float yet another river with people I love, with my family, with good friends. So it's an amazing association. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, because I could see it on some of your faces, what's the deal with the pastor talking about cookies? This has to be a blasphemous description to compare cookies to the walk to Emmaus. Well, I believe that there's some important parallels here. Food and fellowship. Should I just turn it off? Okay. Food, oh, there we go. Yes. I feel like Monty Hall. Okay. Mike just said, I must have a loose wire. I think he meant me personally. If you think about Jesus Christ, I believe that food and fellowship went hand in hand. Jesus was all about the common table. Christ would have meals with anybody. Every person in the society was welcome at his table, and that extends to today as well. All of us, all of you are welcome at Christ's table, as you will be welcome downstairs at our fellowship hall for our community meal. And you know, the thing about communion, when you consider Christ at the Last Supper, this wasn't some fancy meal that he spent hours and hours preparing. Communion is all about foods that everybody had at the time, bread and wine. It's about today in the 21st century, bread and grape juice. It could be about Nutter Butter cookies. When you think about the tradition that we have as United Methodists, you recognize that we believe that at the table, at the communion table, when you come forward, we feel the symbolic presence of Jesus Christ himself. Other churches have other traditions about that. But the point is, as you come up this morning to receive the elements from Ken and I and from Pelaki, you should attempt to feel the very real presence of Jesus Christ, because he will be here with us. As you say the words that you've said so many times, as you think about what is going on here, you will feel what we have done in this church for literally hundreds of years. When you think about the story of the walk to Emmaus, the very turning point of the story, the crux of the entire description, is the point at which Jesus offered the bread. In the breaking of the bread, in the blessing of that loaf, in the sharing of that loaf, the eyes of the two unnamed disciples were opened, and they understood who Jesus really was. In that simple act of sharing bread,
They understood the immediate impact of the resurrection. So as we come here today, as we come forward to receive communion, recognize that what we're sharing in is part of our tradition. It is part of our past. It is part of our present. But it also, if we allow it to be, is part of our future. As you take that bread into your mouth, as you feel the cool grape juice go down your throat, recognize that we are anticipating the future when Jesus will share that meal at the end of time with all of us in our resurrected bodies. Afterwards, when we're finished with Holy Communion up here, we'll go downstairs to have the community meal put on by our youth. And at the end of that serving line, if you're lucky, up near the front, I have two packages of Nutter Butters. And I invite you to take a cookie and to remember. Hear the echoes of the past and hear the promise of the future. Because I pray for you, my brothers and sisters, that you will feel the very real presence of the Lord Jesus Christ made known in the breaking of the bread and in the sharing of a cookie. Amen.